The Future is Ours by Ronza Othman. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Ronza Othman. From the editor, Ronza Othman was just elected as the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland. She is a motivated person who has a very distinguished career within the federation. Where Ronza is, activity lives and flourishes. Here is a speech that she gave at the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland's 2018 convention.
I am blind. Those words are three of the most liberating in the English language, but for many of us, they are some of the scariest words in the English language. Some of us need to hear them hundreds of times before we realize those words apply to us. Some of us need to literally fall in a hole, and we still won't realize they apply to us. But thanks to the National Federation of the Blind, those words are liberating, an anthem of freedom that pierces the anxiety and frustration of trying to do things the sighted way when you have little or no sight. I'd like to tell you a little bit about me, if I may. I was one of those who was slow, well, very slow, to accept my blindness and slower to use the words. I always thought I was unique. My family immigrated to the United States from Palestine just days before I was born. I spoke almost no English when I started school, and I was the sixth of seven children. My family were loud, funny, and each and every one of them was a type A personality, except me. Hashtag sarcasm. My mom figured out when I was a toddler that I had, quote, vision issues. And like most parents, she took me from doctor to doctor seeking a diagnosis, a reason, and a fix. In the Middle East and many other parts of the world, cultural and political norms cause families of the blind to hide their disabilities and sometimes even to hide the family members who have disabilities. The word, quote, blind has very negative connotations and resources don't exist, or if they do, they are severely inadequate. But fortunately, much has changed in the last quarter century in much of the world. But for most refugees and immigrants who are already trying so hard to, quote, blend in and be unnoticed in American society, having a child with a disability such as blindness is an additional challenge. Having said that, though the Middle Eastern culture used to hide its blind, my mother rebelled against that notion from day one. And so my unwillingness to use the word blind, though perhaps had some societal cause, was in no way perpetuated by my mother or immediate family. Yet English was my second language, and I was notoriously bad at it. I kept trying to add English endings to Arabic words, which as a little kid just sounds bizarre. You'll still hear my accent come out when I'm particularly tired, sad, or angry. Anyway, I went to kindergarten at my local public school where I had fond memories of playing with blocks. That's all I remember. About mainstream kindergarten, at least. I remember a test. I was five, so I also remember really wanting the juice box they promised me if I finished the test. And they showed me three pictures, an umbrella, an apple, and a house. I knew that I knew the words for those in English. I knew that I knew the words in Arabic, but I didn't know them in English. I told the juice box people what the things were in the pictures, but apparently I said them in the wrong language. No one but me apparently spoke Arabic. And off to a resource school for the blind I went. Oh, and I did get to repeat kindergarten as well, and the juice box wasn't even that good. The resource school taught me to read, write, and speak English first, but they wouldn't teach me more than rudimentary Braille or cane travel because I, quote, had enough vision to get by without them. They gave me large print books, and I believe that is when my need for a chiropractor truly began. A six-year-old shouldn't be carrying such heavy books. I was mainstreamed into the, quote, regular classrooms within a few months of getting there, which made me wonder, even at age six, why I had to commute 90 minutes each way, each day, to just do what I would have done at my neighborhood school. I did ask that question in English. I was precocious, even then, but I never got a satisfactory answer. I remember a particular time when I got behind my, quote, regular class in reading, and I worked out that my classmates were using context clues from the pictures in the book to learn words. Large print books in my day looked like oversized coloring books, and for a blind kid, all I saw were a bunch of wavy lines, rather disorienting. I asked my vision, quote, teacher, if someone could color in my book like the other kids so I could have usable pictures too. And I'm sure that was the funnest task that one vision aid probably ever had, coloring my first grade reader. I have fond memories of, quote, see frog jump as a result. I went back to my neighborhood school after second grade and attended a religious parochial school for junior high and high school. I got the occasional visit from my vision or itinerant, but mostly those were excuses to skip a math quiz or visit Taco Bell. It took me longer than most to finish my homework, and I slept very little in high school in order to keep up with the required reading. Oh, and I was a total nerd, complete with the public aid glasses. You know what those are, those ones that are huge and plastic frames with the bifocals, and my mother insisted I wear them on a string so I don't lose them. I didn't go out alone at night, unless I absolutely trusted the person whom I was with. I realize now that the people I was with were probably giving me non-visual cues, but it was clear to everyone but me that I was blind. All this time, when people asked me, and mind me, they asked a lot, I never volunteered or self-identified. I would say I was visually impaired. When I went to college, I began figuring out something was different about me. I realized I was the only one working so hard to complete assignments. I got a job on campus I really liked, and I had that old school phone too. I realized I had a job on campus I really liked, but I wasn't brought back after freshman year because I was too slow in reading documents. I realized Scantron sheets were everywhere. They are the devil, I still think so. And my absolute loathing for them, though, was disproportionate from my fellow classmates. I fell in a hole, literally, walking one night. I jumped out of the way of a speeding car and ended up in a construction ditch. I hadn't even known it was there, and I hadn't used blindness techniques or mobility skills. Had I used blindness techniques or mobility skills, I would have known of its existence before I fell in it. I broke my ankle and two ribs. But I insisted to anyone who would listen that I fell because of a speeding car, not because I couldn't see well. I was still using those kinds of terminologies. My vernacular was changing, though, because I wasn't low vision, ocularly occluded, or other kinds of words. I applied for scholarships with the National Federation of the Blind, and I wished so fervently that someone had contacted me for more than just the annual interview. My college experience would have been so different, and I may have avoided that hole. I finally did receive a state scholarship in Illinois when I was a first-year law student, and that state convention was my first exposure to adults who were blind and who were fine with their blindness. In fact, they were thriving. I showed up at the convention fully planning to take the scholarship money and run. Law school is expensive and really intense. But when I got to the hotel, I saw about 100 blind people who were laughing, talking, walking, navigating the hotel and the parking lot on their own and doing what many of us think as basic things. But for me, this was all new. I thought I was doing great as a, quote, low vision person, but surrounded by people who had much less usable vision than I did, I felt like I was missing something fundamental. At that convention, I met people like Patty Chang, Debbie Stein, Fred Schroeder, and Ryan Strunk. Fred Schroeder kept calling me Runza, and it took me 3 days to figure out that he was teasing me by calling me the name of his favorite Nebraska sandwich. And he talked to me about my own as well as cultural misconceptions about blindness. This was the beginning of a lifelong conversation the two of us have been having about blindness and NFB philosophy. Ryan Strunk kept asking me annoying questions like, but how do you read? And how do you travel? And I got defensive because my answers didn't satisfy him, or I realized, didn't satisfy me. I later thought long and hard about his questions and viewed them as a challenge to learn how to work smarter, not harder, and that meant learning blindness skills. Patty Chang showed me that lawyering could be done as a blind person quite competently, which was something I was very anxious about, and she took me under her wing, whether I liked it or not, and brought me into her family. Patty gave me one of my first jobs as a law clerk, and she worked me as hard as every sighted employee she had. I contend she worked me harder. She taught me through words and actions what blind people could do in their lives, what blind lawyers could do, and what I could do. Debbie Stein gave me the gift of literacy. She, too, grabbed hold of me and wouldn't let go. I tried to take the money and run, but Patty and Debbie wouldn't allow it. And Debbie taught me to read Braille. I've been fortunate enough to meet thousands of Federationists since that state convention, and I've learned a great deal from so many of them. A Federationist, Nathaniel Wales, put a long white cane in my hand for the first time and taught me how to use it. I had to lose a bet to do it, but some of us are slow learners. Federationists taught me cooking techniques. Federationists showed me that independent air travel is not only possible, but easy. Federationists helped me give me the confidence to move alone across the country to Maryland. They showed me what technology is out there. A Federationist, Joanne Wilson, helped me get my first federal job. Melissa Riccobono was the first friend I made when I moved to Maryland a decade ago. I learned from Melissa to be myself, that it is okay to make mistakes and to never stop learning. Yes. The incomparable Sharon Maneki has influenced my life in so many ways. I've learned that I'm capable of so much more than I thought I was. I learned that no one's brain can store as much information as Sharon's. But I like the challenge of trying to mine that brain. Sharon is also one of the funniest people I've ever known. But her humor is so unexpected that it takes you a minute to realize she made a joke. I'm so grateful for her faith in me as a leader, and I'm more grateful than I can ever express for her friendship and for her love. These incredible Federationists and others helped shape me into the person I am. They taught me self-confidence, and the word blind is not negative, but freeing. I hope to share the gift they've given to me with those who come after me. They showed me that with the proper skills and attitude, the future is ours. Because of them, because of you, my fellow Federationists, I can say with pride and confidence, my name is Ronza Othman, and I am blind.